shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Don't label us left or right.
We are American.
Not looking for a wall, but we came to fight.
We are American.
Somebody's gotta stand up. Somebody's gotta do what's right. We're rising cause we're fed up. Got our house in order and got yours inside.
Good morning, Sovereign Minds. Today is May 26, 2012, and my name is Mark Kent. I'm here in the studio with my sister, Linda.
Good morning.
And our all-around good gal and soundboard operator, Rachel.
Good morning, Rachel.
Good morning, guys.
Very good, very good. Monday is Memorial Day, and do we have any veterans events?
Well, of course we do. On Monday, May 28th, starting at 10 a.m. at Longcrest on Cypress Avenue, and then at 11 a.m. at McDonald's Chapel at 1275 Continental, they will be showing their respect and placing honors there. And then we have a barbecue at Hilltop Estates. It's a free barbecue for veterans, and that's at 451 Hilltop Drive. Then, of course, the Reading Tea Party at 5 o'clock is having a barbecue and rally and showing their support for the veterans and paying their respects. So if you want to go down there. And then at 5:55 up at the Veterans Cemetery, we'll be having honors up there and a fly-by and reenactments and all kinds of good stuff. So come on out and show your respect and honor for all the veterans out there.
Yes, and out of honor and respect, I want to go ahead and play a couple minutes of this song. This is as a tribute to our veterans, and then we'll be right back.
All your time waiting for that second chance, for a break that would make it okay. There's always some reason to feel not good enough, and it's hard at the end of the day. I need some distraction.
For our veterans out there, we wanted to show some appreciation and hope you're in the arms of an angel at this point. Okay, so I want to go with our first quotes, so you know how fast-paced this show is.
Yeah, we got to get going here.
I'll tell you what, it's just insane sometimes. Our first quote is from Thomas Jefferson, "Paper is poverty. It is only the ghost of money and not itself." At a White House dinner honoring Nobel Prize winners in 1962, John F. Kennedy said, "I think this is the most extraordinary collection of talent, of human knowledge that has ever been gathered at the White House, with the possible exception of when Thomas Jefferson died alone. And so I want to go on. This is kind of our talking points. You know, Jefferson is remembered for many things, of which some of which are the Declaration of Independence, founding of the University of Virginia, Virginia Statue of Religious Freedom, his presidency, Louisiana Purchase are some of the highlights. Jefferson is also remembered for his passionate opposition to his colleague in the Washington cabinet, Alexander Hamilton. Perhaps because it's not a subject of controversy, however, Jefferson's stand for honest money, money as defined, and currency convertible into precious metals is not so well remembered. That is, it was an area where he and Hamilton obviously were in accord. Between the end of the American Revolution and the beginning of the Constitutional Convention, Jefferson wrote to E. Carrington in 1788, "Paper is poverty. It is only the ghost of money and not money itself." His papers show that Jefferson's opinion of paper money did improve with time. Representative examples where paper money is liable to be abused has been, is, and forever will be abused in every country in which it has been permitted. Paper is already at a term of abuse in these states, which has never been reached by any other nation except France, whose dreadful catastrophe should be a warning against the instrument which produced it. The unlimited emission of paper bank notes, all banished, Great Britain specie, and is now by depreciation acknowledged by her own statesmen, carrying her rapidity to bankruptcy. In other words, it caused France to go bankrupt, as it did us and will do us again. In every country permitting paper money to be circulated other than by public authority, in other words, if the paper money is distributed by a public authority as opposed to a private authority, rigorously limited to just the measures for circulation. When I speak comparatively of the paper emission of the old Congress and under the present banks, let it not be imagined that I cover them under the same mantle. The object of the former was a holy one, for if ever there was a holy war, it was that which saved our liberty and gave us independence. The object of the latter is to enrich swindlers at the expense of the honest and industrious part of our nation. So what he's saying is that, you know, when the government printed the Continentals to win the Revolutionary War, you know, he's saying that it was actually used for a good thing at that point. But in any other circumstances where private bankers are in charge of the money supply, it's always used to enrich the swindlers at the expense of the honest and industrious. So that ought to tell you something here. You know, Jefferson exonerated the use of paper money regrettable necessity in the American Revolution, a holy war which saved our liberties and gave us independence. A comparable exoneration readily be made may be extended to the use of greenbacks by President Lincoln to save the Union during the Civil War. Jefferson indicted the use of paper money by the bankers of his day as a device to enrich swindlers at the expense of the honest, and so forth. Jefferson's charge anticipated a threat of anti-elitism in American history, bubbling up with Andrew Jackson and today with the Tea Parties and Occupy Wall Street. It is not difficult to guess where Jefferson's sympathies would lie were he alive today, and that's kind of the memo today. So with that, where are we at?
Well, I'm not sure. I think Rachel's working on getting Brian Riley
on the line.
Okay. We are going to be getting him on the line right after the break.
Okay,
all
very
right,
good.
So that worked.
I want everybody to check out our new website at sovereignminds.ning.com. And I guess we're ready to go to the break now, and we'll be back.
This is KCNR, 1460, home of the Free Fire Media.
Starry, starry night. Paint your palette blue and gray. Look out on a summer's day. With eyes that know the darkness in my soul, shadows on the hills, sketch the trees and the daffodils, catch the breeze and the winter chills in colors on the snowy linen land. Now I understand what you tried to say to me, how you suffered for your sanity.
In this election, we can vote for more jobs, better public safety, and planning the right way. We can do this by voting yes on Measure A. Measure A will allow a new retail center at Knighton Road and I-5 to go forward. This project has been publicly and thoughtfully planned for years and will bring dramatic safety and traffic improvements to the area. The Greater Reading Chamber of Commerce supports Measure A because the retail business is still strong in Shasta County, and the project will create 1,600 jobs from managerial to entry level. Let's remember, with unemployment still over 14% in Shasta County, there are thousands of local residents who just want to get back to work. Measure A will also generate new revenue for our sheriff's deputies and local schools. Join the Shasta Deputy Sheriff's Association and the Reading Record Searchlight. Vote yes on Measure A. It's about doing things the right way. Paid for by Shasta Citizens for Jobs. Yes on Measure A. Build Knighton Retail Center. Sponsored and major funding by Hawkins Companies.
Through Monday, it's a big Proud Motors Memorial Day Sell-a-thon at the Reading Convention Center. Save on hundreds of new and quality pre-owned cars, trucks, vans, and SUVs. Hundreds of vehicles priced to sell, many of them still with their factory warranty. Bankers on site ready to finance. Incredible trade-in value. This is the car and truck savings event you can't miss. The big Proud Motors Memorial Day Sell-a-thon at the Reading Convention Center. Through Monday.
Feel tired, run down, or in pain? You don't have to live this way. Maybe we can help. Hi, I'm Dr. Trudy Pratt. For 18 years, I've had a chiropractic and nutrition practice on Court Street in Reading. Our customized program of body work and nutrition can give you renewed energy, a stronger immune system, and a healthier outlook on life. Call us at 244-7873. It's your health. You deserve it. That number again is 244-7873.
Join the conversation in our chat room. KCNR1460.com.
We're having some issues today in the studio. But, you know, we're going to get her done. Okay, so we're back, and we have Brian Riley with us from the Surprise Arizona Tea Party. He is the person responsible, or at least one of the persons responsible, for putting together a petition to have Sheriff Joe Arpaio investigate the birth certificate issues, that's led to this criminal investigation that's ongoing. And I'll tell you, it just seems like it gets worse and worse and worse. Are you there, Brian?
Yeah, good morning. Good morning, Mark and Linda. How are you doing?
Good morning.
Good. Good morning, Brian.
Good, good. So maybe you can give us an update. I know we had this Hawaii non-verification letter this last week, and, you know, that was touted as being the proof that Obama was born in Hawaii. You know, I think these guys just don't want the media to get a hold of this at all. And anybody who touches it is just branded immediately as a nut job.
Well, absolutely, and that's the Saul Alinsky technique. What you do is you brand them as nut jobs, you call them crazy, and you malign them so nobody listens to what you have to say. And it's interesting, of course, you bring up the verification of birth. I'm looking at a copy of it right now, and this was supposed to be the end-all of end-all, and I'm looking at it, and it very clearly says verification of birth, and the one thing that's not on this form is Mr. Obama's date of birth. Isn't that interesting?
Jeez.
Isn't that interesting?
Yeah, but it's all good.
Oh, yeah, everything's just fine, you know. And then you go down to the bottom of the page, and it's got Alvin Tiahuanaca's certification, estate registrar's certification stamp on it, and he didn't even sign it. Bottom of the letter. So
yeah, it sounds like what this is a plausible denial thing. If it comes back to haunt him, go ahead.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
So it's just makes me sick because the real thing is, okay, we get this letter, all of a sudden, oh, it's all good. I guess there was an interview with Geraldo Rivera and Lord Mocton, and they're basically branding him a nut, and I guess it got scrubbed from the internet as well, but they don't address the Social Security, they don't address the Selective Service, they don't address the forgery coming out of the White House. I mean, how far do we have to go with this thing?
Well, I think the inmates are running the asylum at this point. And how far do we go? Well, they've already taken over, and I think that we have a real tough road to hold at this point. The way the media has spun this Ken Bennett thing has been absolutely amazing. To give the people a little bit of background about what happened, on our March 31st event, we had about 1,200 people attend an event. Basically, it was a reproduction of the press conference that happened March 1st through the sheriff's office with the cold case posse. And we did petitions there. We got 3,000 signatures asking for the state legislature to put a resolution in place that instructed Secretary of State Ken Bennett to simply write a letter to the DNC asking for verification of this man's identity to ensure that the integrity of the Arizona ballot is protected. And the state legislature refused. Secretary of State Bennett refused on his own to write a letter to the DNC. And suddenly he got about 1,200 emails being very, very upset about his lack of performance. And the media presented this as, in all the reports, that Secretary of State Ken Bennett may keep Obama off the ballot. May. Well, that's not the way it was. In an email to me, he said, whether or not that happens, if Hawaii can't or won't provide verification of the president's birth certificate, I will not put his name on the ballot, unquote.
Yeah.
Now, you can't get more specific than that, but the media, friends of Mr. Bennett, or friends of the political establishment, went ahead and, circled the wagons and protected the guy, all right? Then he has the audacity to come out and apologize for the state of Arizona for doing his job. Are you kidding?
Unbelievable. Yeah, I mean, these guys, I mean, it's, and you know what's, what is interesting to me is that it doesn't even really matter from a constitutional standpoint whether he's born in Hawaii or not, as far as the natural born citizen issue. I mean, his father was obviously not an American citizen, and that disqualifies him right there. So to find out he's born someplace other than Hawaii is an absolute, gosh, I don't even know what to say on that. A game changer, I guess. Or I mean, to find how much fraud that we're dealing with here, who is this guy?
You know, that's the exact question that I keep on hearing. You know, I've been the liaison between the cold case posse and the surprise tea party for 8 months, okay? And basically, I'm the gopher. If somebody needs something to communicate, I'm the guy that communicates, all right? The one thing that I've heard in press conferences and presentations over and over is after eight months, the cold case posse cannot identify who this guy is. Now, mind you, this is law enforcement. They have access to all sorts of information and files and everything else. They don't know who he is. They can't even confirm that Barack Obama was his father. They can't confirm that Ann Dunham was his mother. They can't confirm that he was born in Hawaii. And then you go through all these games with the state of Hawaii. I mean, think back to the 1950s and the investigations regarding all the communist activity. in the early 1950s in Hawaii. I mean, it's been a hotbed of far-left activities for many, many years. Now you've got the state of Hawaii providing a verification of birth that doesn't even have the guy's date of birth on it. What are they trying to cover up?
And why don't they just come up with the microfiche and show it to everybody and we're done?
I don't think there is.
Yeah,
I don't think there is any microfiche. I think what's happened is the cold case posse came out and they said that it's basically a computer-generated forgery and fraud. And that's what we're looking at, a document that was created by a computer. And I would encourage anybody that's listening, go to the White House website, put in the search engine, just put in birth certificate. An article will come up, and then you can click on a link that will bring up a PDF of Mr. Obama's birth certificate. And I'd encourage you to look at that, go up to the file number, magnify it 300 or 400%, go down to the registrar stamp down below, magnify it 300 or 400%, look at the misspelled word "the," and it's just like, it's incredible. The whole thing is, it's like a bad dream. It really is.
I got a couple of questions from the chat room here. One is, Bennett planning to run for governor?
Well, I'll tell you something. If he is, he just shot himself in the foot, because prior to his doing this little dog and pony that he's just done, he was getting letters from Republican precinct committee people. I know I attended a meeting with LD4 and LD22, and they unanimously voted to ask Secretary Bennett to send a letter to the DNC. Unanimous 225 votes. You've got Tea Party people that are upset. You've got independents that are upset. Basically, the very foundation that would apparently get him elected. I mean, his foundation, his base is crumbling. So he actually, if he would have stood up and if he was, took the right actions and kept this guy off the ballot until there was some kind of official resolution. It's incredible. You've got an official law enforcement investigation going on in this state, and he thinks everything apparently is just A-OK if the state of Hawaii says it's OK.
Yeah, it seems like nobody really wants to look at the evidence. Anytime you deal with the media, it's all about, you're a birther, you're this, or this is ridiculous. Nobody says, hey, let's look at the evidence and see what they got. And why doesn't this ever stop? Why doesn't this thing just ever go away? And it seems to me that the people out there get it, because if you do any kind of a little research across the country on this issue, there's a lot of people that are birthers, and it's getting more and more and more because the evidence is so overwhelming that there's something wrong here, that the media is losing control of it anyway.
Well, they're definitely losing control. This last week is the first time that, because of the Secretary of State Bennett situation, it's the first time that we've broken through the media blackout and got national attention here. But then the fix was in. Once Senator McCain came out on May 19th and said the President of the United States is going to be on the ballot in Arizona, then within a couple days, Bennett, his knees buckled,
yeah.
And you see this nonsense. And if he's honestly thinking about running for governor, he's not leadership material. I'm sorry.
Well, and it just shows you too that how deeply embedded with the Democrats and Republicans are with each other. That the Republicrats is what I'm starting to call them. Anybody that thinks there's a dime's worth of difference between these two parties as far as big government is not looking at the facts. I mean, and that's the real deal, is that these guys have co-opted our government, and they all have their little pet projects. You might have the Democrats like this project or that project, and the Republicans like this project or that project, but the deficit spending, the debt raising of the ceiling, or the ceiling, the raising of the debt ceiling, the banking. I mean, the only one that challenges the banking at all is Ron Paul in there to try to audit the thing, and a few other guys in Congress. So I just got to say, when I see John McCain's name come up in this and then he's siding with Obama, I mean, something's wrong.
Well, Mark, I got to tell you, this John McCain has been in my opinion, Barack Obama's hip pocket for a long time. And if the people want to know what I'm talking about, I would encourage them to be good researchers. Look up Senate Resolution 511 that was done in 2008, and specifically go to the congressional record for the Senate for April 30th, 2008, and look up page S, as in Sam, 3645 and 3646.
We've got to go to a break.
Go ahead.
So just hold on there. Please give us a call if you have any questions for Brian at 605-4567. This is KCNR 1460, home of the Free Fire Media.
People Radio every Sunday morning with Elizabeth Woodward and Aaron Ryan, where we talk about all things fiscal responsibility, limited government, and adherence to the Constitution.
Let's roll, America. There's a job to be done.
This two-hour program offers you the opportunity to learn about issues the mainstream media only delivers in sound bites. Go to our website, wethepeopleradio.us, learn about people that are coming on the show, and if you'd like to hear them in person, find a Tea Party meeting near you. You can find that link at wethepeopleradio.us as well.
This Sunday, We the People welcomes back Kenana Nadir, who continues his work underground in Britain's Muslim community. A year ago, he appeared on our program and warned of the danger radical Islam poses to Western democracies and our way of life. This week, live from London, Kenana updates us. We the People, Sunday mornings, 8 to 10 on AM 1460, KCNR.
Hello, Shasta County. This is Kurt Largent from Sheldon Largent Realty, and these are difficult times in our economy. It's difficult times in real estate, and people have lots of questions. Should I sell? Am I upside down? What is a short sale? What's cash for keys? What do I do if my house is sold on the courthouse steps? For answers to these questions and many more, please tune in Saturday from 9 to 10 here on KCNR 1460 AM to the Kurt Largent Radio Show. We talk about all things real estate. Brought to you by Jeterbilt Construction, Megastar Mortgage, Trinity Pest Control, and Sheldon Largent Realty.
I'm Patrick Henry Jones, and I'm running for Supervisor District 3. Proven leadership for Shasta County. I grew up here in Shasta County. I've worked at Jones's Fort for over 30 years. I've been the lone conservative voice on Redding City Council, and I've served as Redding's mayor in 2010. One of the most important issues facing eastern Shasta County is the protection of our water rights. Vote for me, Patrick Henry Jones, Supervisor District 3, paid for by the committee to elect Patrick Henry Jones, Supervisor District 3, 2012.
The hotline is open on KCNR 1460, 530-605-4567.
Brian Riley from Arizona Surprise Tea Party. Are you there, Brian?
Yes, ma'am. How are you doing?
We're doing great. So where'd we leave off there?
We left off with the Democrats and the Republicans being in bed with each other, and we were talking specifically about John McCain, and this document or this resolution is extremely important because people on the Democrat side, the Obama supporters all say that this is all fiction. It's not fiction. It's very important. It was, if you go to the congressional record for the Senate for April 30th, 2008, page S3645 and S3646, Senate Resolution 511 was a resolution to determine whether or not John McCain was a natural-born citizen so that he could run in 2008. And what he did was, by the way, Senate Resolution 511 was sponsored by Barack Obama, co-sponsored by Barack Obama and Senator Hillary Clinton, okay? So you go through this, and what the campaign did in the McCain campaign did was they hired Theodore B. Olson, a constitutional scholar and attorney, to determine whether John McCain was a natural-born citizen. Within a day, he said, "Yeah, he is. I have no concerns about this. He's a natural-born citizen."
Because both of his parents were born.
What's that?
Because both of his parents were citizens, right?
Yeah, both of them. But here was the real ploy on Senate Resolution 511. The idea on this whole thing was to actually make it appear that Barack Obama was eligible for the presidency. On page S-3646 in the congressional record for the Senate, we then find that Theodore B. Olson was brought in by the John McCain campaign. Lawrence Tribe was brought in. He was an Obama supporter. He did the first Iowa TV commercials for Obama. He was also Obama's professor at Harvard, and Obama also did research work for Lawrence Tribe. Okay? So on page 2 of the congressional record, it actually says, after talking about Barry Goldwater, okay, and Barry Goldwater being born in the territory of Arizona, therefore he would be eligible, but they don't even mention his parents, the fact that they were both citizens. But they go on to say here, courtesy of Olson and Tribe, says, and Senator Barack Obama was born in Hawaii on August 4th, 1961, not long after its admission to the Union on August 21st, 1959. We find it inconceivable that Senator Obama would have been ineligible for the presidency had he been born 2 years earlier. I mean, you get this? What they're saying is if he was born in the territory of Hawaii, it would be inconceivable that he would be ineligible. Well, they're making the argument that he was born in Hawaii, therefore he's automatically eligible. This is a travesty. This whole thing was put up by the John McCain campaign in concert with Hillary Clinton and Barack Obama to show that in the congressional record, hey, he's eligible. We, you know, constitutional scholars, one of his professors, come up with the idea that this man is eligible to be president of the United States.
Well, there are a couple of challenges in the Supreme Court on this right now. We can only hope that these guys are going to stand up for the Constitution and the rule of law. I mean, the word is that they're going to go against Obamacare, and hopefully they'll, do the homework on this one as well.
Well, I'll tell you something. If they do that, I will be absolutely surprised. Because since 1954, that's 5-4, basically Congress has had the authority under treaty law to do exactly this, to actually put nationalized health care in place. And basically Senator Pat McCarran, Democrat of Nevada, was talking about Articles 55 and 56 of the United Nations Charter giving Congress that power to put in socialized medicine from cradle to grave. Okay, they were talking about this back in 1954. We're really late for the party. American citizens have not woken up to the fact that we're really late for the, if you want to call this a party. This is an absolute disaster that's happening because nobody has seen what's going on.
Well, I believe we're in for an economic disaster that's not far away myself, just because if you see what's happening in Europe, you know, they're rioting in Greece and in other countries over there. Well, just this last week, there were several people in the last week or so that have committed suicide on the steps of the parliament in Greece because the economy has gotten so bad because of the banking and the debt and so forth. And we're right there with these guys. So I think that we need to understand that we got to start really fighting to get back to the Constitution here at some point.
Well, both Republicans and Democrats have put us in this position. To bring about a socialized world government system, you have to destroy the economic system of the United States, and that's what's happening right before our eyes. Obama knows exactly what he's doing, and he's doing an excellent job of destroying this country. And people, apparently there are a lot of people that just love this guy because he's so charismatic, but he's absolutely destroying this country.
Wow. Wow.
Well, I know that, you know, we're against the time clock here, Brian. What do you think would be, I know that's kind of an understatement. I mean, we're way behind here. In the process of what's going on, do you have any suggestions to the listeners out there about what we could do or how we can help, maybe speeding this along or gathering steam on our side to take back our country?
And help Sheriff Joe and his investigation as well. Yeah.
Okay, a couple things. The cold case posse has gone through over $40,000 so far in this investigation, okay? They work only on donations. I'll give you an address. They would really, I'm sure they would really appreciate donations. It would be MCSO Cold Case Posse, P.O. Box 74374, Phoenix, Arizona, 85087. And again, that's P.O. Box 74374, Phoenix, Arizona, 85087. And checks could be made out to Cold Case Posse.
Have we got your email, Brian? Do we have that?
Yes, I do have his email.
Okay, because I'd encourage you to go to my website, sovereignminds.ning.com, and we can post stuff there as well. And then I'll get it over to the 24-Hour Patriot site and try to get this thing out there as much as possible.
Okay, Mark, what's your website again, please?
It's sovereignminds.ning, N-I-G. N-I-N-G .com.
Okay.
And by the way, everything's archived here, so if anybody wants to go back through and listen to this again to get some of this information, I encourage you to do so. But, yeah, we need to get as much of this out there because what's gonna turn the tide here is the public. The public has to be informed.
How much time do I have left?
We got 15 minutes. It's all yours, Brian, whatever you want to talk about.
Okay, one other thing that I'd like to suggest is people need to look and research the mechanics of what's being done to this country and how the laws are being changed, okay, without our knowledge and with our representatives not understanding the process. I was at a meeting with a congressman, a public meeting with a congressman the other day, and I asked him the question. I said, on March 7th, Senator Sessions, Republican, a senator from Alabama, was in a meeting with the chief of staff, Secretary of Defense Leon Panetta. And Senator Sessions was just really upset. He was saying to Secretary of Defense, why isn't the President of the United States consulting with Congress before he goes to war? And the reply from Leon Panetta was, well, as long as there's an, quote, international legal basis in effect, the president doesn't have to consult with Congress.
So in other words, if the U.N. says it's okay, basically, then we don't care about the Congress and we're not a sovereign nation anymore and the Constitution doesn't really matter.
Correct.
Yeah.
That's essentially, it matters to us. But they're not operating under the Constitution.
Well, look at the famous comment from Nancy Pelosi. The Constitution? Really? Are you serious?
I mean,
that's what's going on here. And these people that think that their political party is, I got a comment on here that said, is our country so fragile that one person can destroy our entire government? No, it's not one person. It's the government. And people got to realize it's not their guy and the other guy's guy. They're all the same guys. And until they wake up to that reality, they're living in a dream world.
Exactly. To finish up with my comments to the congressman, I said, what does international legal basis mean? And he looked at me like he was a deer in headlights, and he said, I don't know. And I said, well, Congressman, can you tell me if there's ever been an amendment to the Constitution under Article 5 that takes the power from Congress to declare war and gives it to the President of the United States? He says, well, no. That's never happened. I said, okay, then what does international legal basis mean? I said, could it mean a treaty? And he looked at me. He actually looked kind of angry when he looked at me, and he said, "I don't know." So I don't know whether these guys are playing or whether they're stupid or they're all just totally part of it, but the fact of the matter is we are getting run over by laws that we have no idea about because they are coming from international organizations, international agreements, executive agreements, treaties, the whole thing. And until we understand what's happening to this country and how it's being done, we don't stand a chance, because we can stand there holding the Constitution as long as we want, saying we have constitutional rights. Well, they're evaporating. The next thing that's going to happen...
Brian, I'm sorry to interrupt you, but we have to go to a break. Oh. So hold on, and we'll catch you on the other side of the break. This is KCNR 1460, home of the Free Fire Media.
For shopping at Bastiani Arms. It is now 6 o'clock and we are now closed. Please bring your purchases up to the register at this time.
Hold up. Wait a minute. Just kidding.
The good guys at Bastiani Arms will continue to give you the attention and service you've come to expect, even if you need them after hours. They still treat every customer the old-fashioned way, with respect and first-class customer service. If you're buying a new gun anytime soon, remember Bastiani Arms, your locally owned and operated firearms dealer. New or used, Bastiani Arms is Redding's most knowledgeable firearms dealer on handguns, rifles, shotguns, and off-list AR lower receivers. No fishing poles or camping equipment sold here. No, sir. Bastiani Arms is Redding's exclusive firearms dealer. They appreciate your business and thank you for keeping your dollars here in our community. Bastiani Arms on the corner of Larkspur and Wall Street in Redding. Join the revolution.
Through Monday, it's a big Crown Motors Memorial Day Celebration at the Redding Convention Center. Save on hundreds of new and quality pre-owned cars, trucks, vans, and SUVs. Hundreds of vehicles priced to sell. Many of them still with their factory warranty. Bankers on site ready to finance. Incredible trade-in value. This is the car and truck savings event you can't miss. The big Crown Motors Memorial Day Sell-a-thon at the Redding Convention Center through Monday.
Hi, I'm Bob Moore. My family and I have run Moore's Flour Mill in Redding for nearly 40 years. We also have a 75-acre grain farm in Churn Creek Bottom, and it's been my dream to restore an old grist mill on the site and to grow a variety of crops to be processed and sold at the farm. Unfortunately, none of this will be possible if Measure B passes. So I'm here to ask you to please vote no on Measure B. And remember, Measure B has nothing to do with the shopping mall. Support real agriculture. Vote no on Measure B.
Paid for by Moore's Flour Mill.
The hotline is open on KCNR 1460, 530-605-4567.
Brian?
Well, we were talking about what can people do. They need to become educated about the techniques that people within our government are using to change our very system that we're living in, changing our form of government, bringing us into, you know, world government and so forth. I'm gonna read something real quick from 1952 and then compare it to 2011 so you know what I'm talking about. If you think about this and understand this, you'll know exactly what people within our government are doing. And this is a quote. "The treaty-making power is an extraordinary power liable to abuse. Treaties make international law, and also they make domestic law. under our Constitution, treaties become the supreme law of the land. They are indeed more supreme than ordinary laws, for congressional laws are invalid if they do not conform to the Constitution, whereas treaty laws can override the Constitution. Treaties, for example, can take powers away from the Congress and give them to the President. They can take powers from the state and give them to the federal government or to some international body, and they can cut across the rights given the people by the Constitutional Bill of Rights. That was written in 1952 by the Secretary of State John Foster Dulles, who was Secretary of State under Eisenhower from 1953 through 1959. Fast forward to 2011. This is from the American Rifleman from the NRA, and this is the president's column, David A. Keene, and again, July 2011. It says here, President Obama will work with international anti-gun forces in the United Nations to win approval of a treaty that could virtually outlaw the private ownership of firearms in this country. If that happens, our opponents will have achieved their lifelong dream, and the America we inherited will be lost forever. This is how they're doing it. This is how they're changing America through these agreements, conventions, treaties. The biggest mistake we ever made was entering into the treaty with the United Nations. We lost it in October of 1945 through people that wanted to bring about a world government system.
Well, we can revoke these treaties as well.
Very difficult. Very, very difficult. You have to get, for example, as far as I know, it was done one time by a joint resolution in Congress about 1789, and that was a treaty that we had with France. It was a defense treaty, and we, through a joint resolution, pulled away from it. We didn't even have the support from our Congress when 83% of the people were against Obamacare, socialized medicine. We couldn't even get them to act, okay? So we face a real uphill challenge. We need to know how they're doing this and expose these people as best as we can, because once they get this small arms treaty in place, we're really running out of time.
Well, and I think the powers that be, if you will, is the banking cabal. That's who's running the show, if you ask me, for their little world domination scheme here that we're on. But doesn't the treaties can't override our constitutional rights, is my understanding, because they have to actually, they can't take away our rights under the Constitution in a treaty.
Well, how do you change the Constitution giving the authority to the president to go to war without consulting?
Well, you don't. They're just usurping it. It's not really
exactly
legal.
See, that's the key word. What they're doing is they're violating the Constitution. This is called abuse. If you see a stop sign and you're driving your car, the law says you got to stop. Just like these guys got to stop. Well, they're running the stop signs. Okay. What we have is people abusing the system, and they know how to do it, and nobody will say anything about it, because apparently the people that are pulling the strings want it to be this way.
Well, they're controlling the media is the biggest thing, and so they got this Saul Alinsky perception out there. You know, if you get away from the media and start doing your own homework on the internet and a few other places and verify sources and so forth, it becomes so apparent that the mainstream media is lying about everything. It's ridiculous.
They're in the tank. They're absolutely in the tank. I mean, the most evident thing was when General Electric was supporting Obamacare. Well, General Electric at the time had ownership of NBC, and who was going to benefit the most through Obamacare? Well, General Electric, with all their information systems that they were going to be putting into place and other things. You know, it's all about money. It's all about greed. And basically, we, the people, are suffering, and our country is suffering. And I have to clear something up, too. We have the best government in the whole world. We have one of the greatest countries in the world. It's not our government. It's not our system of government. It is the reckless people that are abusing the system, abusing the Constitution, that are trampling on our Constitution and taking our rights away. That's what's going on.
Yeah, and anybody who says anything against it, oh, they're, you know, we got a guy in the chat room, oh, watch out for the black helicopters and all this stuff. But it's so insane because that's a lazy man's response instead of actually doing some research and some homework on these
issues. And listening to something else besides the mainstream media.
Absolutely.
And, yeah, that's why I think the kids are so in tune with what's going on nowadays, teenagers.
Well, the problem is a lot of people don't want to do the research and they don't want to learn, because anytime you do research and you learn things, you have to make decisions. And it's better to go through life with blinders on and not know.
Well, it takes a lot less effort.
Absolutely.
Well, then the other thing is that they have to do something. If you admit there's a problem, then you either have to make the decision that you're going to do something or not. And you can't sit there and say, I'm a patriot or I'm this or I'm that and not do anything, because the real deal is then you have to make a decision on who you really are.
Exactly. And by the way, getting back to John Foster Dulles, if any of the people want to do their research, he was one of the original people that was pushing for the League of Nations after World War One. And they didn't get their League of Nations because many of the things that President Wilson was pushing, the Senate wouldn't approve because it was unconstitutional. So what John Foster Dulles and his brother and other folks did was they formed an organization called the Council on Foreign Relations. And basically that is a group that has been used as a propaganda tool to educate us and get us to think about world government systems and how it's better to be a one-world system than think in terms of nationality and constitutions and so forth. Fast forward from 1921 all the way up to 1952, and John Foster Dulles is now the Secretary of State, and his brother Alan Dulles is the head of the Central Intelligence Agency, okay? These people were very influential people all through, the 50s back to 1920. And what he did in this particular statement that I read from 1952, it basically shows the game plan that they're utilizing to run roughshod over the Constitution. And if people will do their research, and I always suggest people do their research, don't believe me. Find out for yourself what's happening.
Well, I'll tell you, we're coming to a tipping point economically. What people that don't want to do the research or look at this stuff, what they're not realizing is that the debt is so out of control right now. We haven't had a budget in 3 years, and there's a good reason for it, because the entitlement spending actually, when you look at the tax revenues that are being collected, by the time you get through paying the mandatory entitlement spending and the pensions and the government subsidies, you find that there's absolutely zero money left to run the government, period. That's why we're having to borrow all that money, and this debt is getting to a tipping point where it's going to implode. So people better wake up and start preparing, because this is going to get ugly, and it's not going to be that far away.
I totally agree. I mean, it already is getting ugly, and people are scratching their heads trying to figure out, how did this happen? What's going on? And we've been kept in the dark for such a long time. This so-called birther issue is just the tip of the iceberg.
Yep.
And I have to explain something.
We got 2 minutes, Brian.
Okay.
So you got to hurry.
I'm the people at the Surprise Tea Party are very, very concerned American citizens who want to know the truth. We object to being called birthers. We're not birthers. We're just American citizens that want to know what is happening in this country and why is it that we have a president of the United States that we don't even have a clue who he is. Okay, we're not birthers. We're seeking the truth.
Could you talk just a little bit about the Selective Service? Give us about 30 seconds, and then
Selective Service Registration Form, there's probable cause to believe that it is a forgery. The certification stamp that was used on it is counterfeit. It only has 2 digits for the year. It's by law, it's supposed to have 4 digits. It's supposed to say 1980, not 80. And basically somebody took a 2008 stamp, cut it in half, turned it upside down, and to present 1980. And Barack Obama allegedly signed that. The Selective Service will not cooperate as far as giving any
Brian,
document.
Brian, I hate to cut you off right there, but we will get cut off here.
We're running out of time.
We have to wrap up.
We'll have to have you back again,
Brian.
Yeah,
we are so glad that you came on. and kind of gave us an update and helped us out with what's going on out there with this.
And I gotta get this, I gotta get this quote in. When I joined the military, it was illegal to be homosexual. When it became optional, and then it became optional, and now it's legal. I'm getting out before Obama makes it mandatory. That's gonna be Sergeant
Harry
Byrd.
Okay, let me see if I can get this one in. Guard against the imposters of the pretended patriotism. It is George Washington.
Alright, I guess we're done. I guess we're done. Thanks,
Have a
Brian.
Great weekend.
We'll be talking to you.
We'll be talking to you.
Okay, pray for America.
Yeah, pray.
Absolutely.
You got
Thank
it.
Bye bye.
Thank you for listening to KCNR 1460 AM, the home of Free Fire Media. This
is Fox News Radio. I'm Ron Flatter. A new call for the United Nations to be less passive in its reaction to Syria. It comes after one of the deadliest attacks since the anti-government uprising began last year. A British human rights organization saying at least 90 people were killed in an attack on a region of central Syria by government loyalists.
We think that the world has to move into more other measures, including, requiring armed observers, not just an armed observer.
Louis Safi of the Syrian National Council, a leading opposition group trying to push out Bashar Assad's government. Astronauts on board the International Space Station successfully opened the hatch, reaching the half ton of cargo that arrived yesterday on board a private SpaceX capsule, the one grabbed by the space station's mechanical arm.
We were pretty much focused on the operational aspect of getting Dragon, and a lot of folks think, wow, isn't it this really neat? But we're so focused on making sure we get